Today's daf is Tainis daf Yud Aleph. Tainis Yud Aleph, we left off towards the bottom of Yudam Beis. We were discussing we started the Gemara about good time, a couple of advice. When it's a good time to travel, a person should only travel when it's daylight, but a person should only take small steps, not big steps. We got into this conversation in the Gemara because we had mentioned that Yaakov Avinu tells the brothers that don't show off the fact that you have food, just like a person who's not fasting on a fast day. He broke his fast for whatever reason. He shouldn't show others that he's not fasting. Yaakov Avinu told the brothers not to show off to the Bnei Esav, to other people, that we have food during the years of famine, even though you don't, to the extent that they actually went up to, they went from Eretz Yisrael, they went to Mitzrayim to try to secure more food, even though they had enough, in order that they shouldn't create envy, shouldn't create jealousy. Once we spoke about advice, Yaakov to the sons, so we got into the Gemara of Yosef telling the brothers, after he revealed himself, not to fight on the derech, which we explained to mean not to talk in learning, which we then said, of course, you have to talk in learning when you're on the road. To Tamid Chamim, if they don't talk in learning, a fire is going to come burn them up. So he said what it means is that learning bekiyistic that they could do, but learning be'ian, when they're not going to focus on where they're going, that's not something they should do. So from that, we're segueing back into another pair of advice, which again will relate to Yosef and the brothers. Al Tafsi, we'll go back to this Gemara. Al Tafsi B'Sigasa. I skip. Basisa Tana. It's the 10 lines up, around 12 lines up from the bottom of the page. First words in the line. You don't base. Basisa Tana. Al Tafsi B'Sigasa. One should not take large steps. So the simple idea is one should take large steps because he may fall down and hurt himself. One should come into the city while the sun is still shining. He should not travel when it's dark. He should be traveling only when it's light. So the Gemara now says, taking big steps actually causes damage. That 1/500th of a person's eyesight is diminished every time when he takes big steps. We spoke out yesterday to Tatius that so if a person takes 500 big steps, that means he's going to be blind. About not because it's 1/500th, and then 1/500th of the remainder, it's always 1/500th. So you know, obviously it has an effect, but it's a minimal each time. It's not 500 steps. Okay. Says, and we also spoke out, I believe we spoke out yesterday, that the way to get it back is to look at the candles by Kiddush, on Friday night. So when one makes Kiddush, you should take a look at the candle, look at the Kesher Bracha, and then his eyesight, whatever he lost in that week, would be restored. The Chnis Chama, they wanted me to come into the city while still sun's still out. We should always go in and go out. B'chitayv. Chitayv, of course, means HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the Ar Chitayv in the beginning of Sheshet Vibrations. He saw the Ar Chitayv. So Chitayv represents Ar. One should always travel when it's light outside, and he should go out and come back while it's still light. Says the Gemara, and here's we get back to Yosef. It was morning lit up, and then the Anashim were sent, then Yosef sent off the brothers. Of course, this is famous. This is the beginning of Pesachim as well. This was a Gemara discussion with Erla Basar. Is the night of the 14th or the morning? So this is one of the riots in that conversation. Maybe we have a Baker Ur, Anashim Shochu, clearly talking about Ur together with Baker. Okay, but the point that we have for our Gemara is Yosef was giving advice only to leave in the morning, not leave at night, because he's supposed to leave and come back when it's still daylight. Amar Yidam Rechia, Hamach Baderach. Further on the topic of travels. Once we're on the topic of traveling, we say more on this advice regarding travels. Hamach b'dech, one is traveling on the road, he shouldn't eat more than he would eat in a years of famine. Just like in years of famine, we decrease our food intake. The reason is because we're trying to save up, because unfortunately there's a famine, so we don't want to run out of food. So we decrease our intake to make sure to have more storage. So to one travels, he should eat in that type of manner. Why is that? My taima. Two reasons the Gemara gives. In Babel, they said the issue is a sickness of the stomach, that one is exerting himself while traveling on the road, and then he eats a lot of food. It's a bad combination for some sort of stomach illness. And so they said, provisions of food. When one's traveling, even if it's not a years of famine, but he's traveling, a traveling person doesn't have the same type of access, doesn't have the same type of backup storage pantry full of food, and therefore he should store it up, kind of like in the years of famine, he should make sure to eat less amounts in order to save his provisions, save food, make sure it doesn't run out. Says, my now, what's the nafkamina, whether the reason is because of stomach illness or because of saving up the food? The Gemara brings two nafkaminas, top of Yidalf and Alf. Diyasif ba'arba, what if he's traveling on a boat? He's not exerting himself. He's sitting back on the boat, relaxing as the boat moves. So exertion is not an issue, and therefore the stomach illness is not an issue. I guess seasickness doesn't play a role in this. So the stomach illness is not an issue. But the issue of running out of food on the boat also, there's a limited amount of food, and that same issue
issue would apply. Whereas on the flip side, you'd have another Dafka, you know, the other way, because Mabla Avla, what if he's going from like port to port or from inn to inn? He's going to from one pundik to another pundik. So along the modern day equivalent, of course, of the gas stations, right? The big rest stops along the highways, same type of idea. He goes from rest stop to rest stop. He has places where he knows he can replenish and restock on his food, and therefore running out of food wouldn't be an issue, but the issue of traveling while eating a lot would still be an issue. So we have scenarios where each one is an issue and the other one is not an issue. Rav Papa, Kalparsa Parsa, Achel Chadar Rav. Rav Papa, every Parsa he would travel, he would eat a full loaf of bread, meaning he clearly was not limiting his intake. Kasavar Mishamaina, he obviously had the issue, his issue of stomach illness. If it's an issue of running out of food and he's traveling, it should be a problem. But if it's an issue of stomach illness, he held that's the issue of stomach illness, and he wasn't concerned about that. Why wasn't he concerned about this? Rashi explains, because Rav Papa was a balbuster. Papa was very large. He would often eat a large amount of food, and therefore it wasn't unusual for him, and therefore it wouldn't be creating an issue of a stomach ache, and therefore for him he said it was okay to eat larger amounts, even when he's traveling. Larger amount than other people, I guess. Whoever starves himself, whoever makes himself hungry in the years of famine, meaning he minimizes the chila to put himself with the tzibur, needs a misa mishuna, he's saved from a misa mishuna. What's misa mishuna? Rashi says, meis becherek uvrav, one who gets killed by a sword or by a hunger, as opposed to what? Any misa not through the malchamavis, kiderech kol adam amitasei. A person lying in bed, sick, old, that's malchamavis. A person who dies by a sword, who dies by a hunger, that's not kiderech malchamavis. That's a misa mishuna. Says Rav Imrav, one who puts himself with the tzibur, with the tzara, and he minimizes his food intake during years of famine, he'll be safe from misa mishuna. Shnemar, it says in the pasuk, birav, in the hunger and the famine, Hashem redeemed you from avis. Meirav b'vayle. The Mara says, what's the lashon with the base birav? It should be meir from the hunger. Hashem has saved you. What does it mean in the hunger? Elach gamar bischar. That's the base bischar shemar v'atzmai. In the reward for the fact that he limited his own food intake. B'shnei ravayin. In the years of hunger, nitzam b'mis mishuna. He himself is protected from dying in a misa mishuna. Amar Rish Lakish. It's us for a person to have relations in a Shnei Ravayin. In the years of hunger, it's us for a person to have relations. Shneimar, Yosef yulad shnei banim b'terem tavei shtas rav. Pretty clear. The person say Yosef gave birth to two sons, Menashe and Ephraim, of course, right before the hunger started. What's the obvious inference? And it was before the hunger started. Once the hunger started, he wouldn't have had the children because you don't have children, you don't have tashmish during years of hunger. Tana, the Gemara says, a qualification on Rish Lakish is halacha. Chasuche banim, one who doesn't have children, one who doesn't have children yet, mishabishem mitazeh b'shnei rav, and they can have relations in the years of famine. Now, very interesting. Rashi learns, what does it mean, chasuche banim? One who was mekayim peruvu. As Rashi says, other Rishonim argue. Other Rishonim, very good, excellent. So Rashi says, those who are mekayim peruvu, they can still be Isaac. They can have tashmish during years of famine. Other Rishonim say, no, chasuche banim means someone doesn't have children. Obviously, there's different madrigas. Having a son, according to the way we pass like Basil, having a son and a daughter is the ultimate kima peruvu. But one who has children would not be Isaac. Only someone who has no children at all could be Isaac. That's other Rishonim, like Rashi. And like Yehuda just pointed out beautifully, L'chayr Shtig Rai from Yosef. Yosef had two sons. Yosef didn't have a son and a daughter. Right, so it's a little bit of an ara. On Rashi, Yosef didn't have a son and a daughter, and yet we bring him as the raya that only because he had the children b'terem the hunger. But when the famine started, he wasn't the deek seems to be. He was no longer engaged in relations once the hunger started. Why would that be? He also, according to Rashi's criteria, he was mekayim peruvu. So lechayra, that'd be shtik raya, not like Yosef. Yes. Sorry.
Moshe didn't have peruvu either.
Maisha, he didn't have daughters? Yeshua is famous, he only had daughters. Yeshua is famous, yeah, listen, whether someone's ultimate kind of peruvu is, as obviously telling in Shemaim, he has to make his effort, but like everything in life, he needs to have his rabbi, it's very clear, it's up to the person. A person could have 10 boys or 10 girls, right? It's up to the person whether he's Mekayimit, but we're focused even more so on the effort to try, and according to Rashi, it sounds like there'll still be a din to try, even though you have multiple boys or multiple girls, as long as you don't have both. Whereas, according to other Rishonim, we're saying not like that, and then Gemara seems to read better according to the other Rishonim. Now, there is big kashas asked in this. First of all, you have Yitzchak and Gerar, right? When there was a fast, a hunger, Yitzchak went to Gerar, and Avimelech saw him, he said his sister, Rivka, not his wife. Avimelech saw Yitzchak being mitzachek with his wife. What did mitzachek the first week means? getting involved, to get involved with relations. How could Yitzchak be involved with relations with his wife? I was years of famine. This is a stark kasha, a lot of the Mefarshim brought about. Mizrachi Miketz, coming up, Mizrachi Miketz, next week's parsha, says that where Yitzchak lived, it wasn't a famine. There was a famine in the world. The place where he settled and where he went to, there wasn't a famine. As this is the place where he was, there's no famine. Therefore, he's able to be engaged in relations. That is pashas. That's not the pashas, but that is how Mizrachi learns to answer this kasha Miketz, how Kishim Yitzchak with this Gemara. Marsha says, it was after Yitzchak, the Torah describes as they went to Gerar. He didn't have relations with Rivka right away. After some time, if it's a sister, it doesn't make a difference if he's living there for a month or 4 years. If it's a sister, it's still a sister. So it was awkward to the king that he saw Yitzchak being involved with the sister. But it wasn't right away. It was after the famine, after the hunger had already subsided, and the lashon was ki archulai. I think it's Ki Archu Shanim, I forgot the exact pasuk, but there is mashmash that he was there not just for such a short amount of time, and that's when it took place as mashmash after the hunger was already over. The Maral wants to say, the Said, that we just said from our Gemara, that one who doesn't have children, and we said, according to Rashi, one who's not Mekayim Puruvu, is allowed to engage relations even when there's a famine, hunger. Yitzchak didn't have children yet, so it's perfect. According to the holidays, he had no children. Forget about boys and not girls, or vice versa. He didn't have any children, and therefore it's very geshmak that Yitzchak had the dispensation of Agamara, that since he didn't have Mekayim Puruvu, that itself would allow him to have relations at that time. The question Tosfos asks, that's the kasha that Mizrachi, Marsha, Maral, I'm sure others ask as well. Tosfos asks, Tosfos on the side of the page, asks, what about Levi? Levi with father Yocheved. Yocheved was born Bein HaChemes. Yocheved was born at the end of Mitzrayim. If she was born Bein HaChemes, that means, obviously, that the Levi was engaged in relations 9 months prior, which means during the famine, before they traveled up to Mitzrayim to move or travel down to Yosef. After Yosef revealed himself, Levi was still engaged in relations. Well, how does that stem with our Gemara? Hazoi for Tosfos. Tosfos says, very ancient Teretz. Tosfos says, "Veishleimar to the kula amalev aser to the top Tosfos El Lami the third line El Lami shereitza linik atzmin bechassidus v'yesef veshimish." This is only said for people that want to be midas chassidus and yesef tikkun the midas chassidus. Late veshimish avol shar bnei adam shimshu, including Levi. Others were mishamish even during a fast, and Levi's from that group. So Tosfos puts a big qualification on this whole Gemara. This din about nine relations in shas of famine, says Tosfos, is not a vart. It's not a vart of absolute iser. It means chasidus. Yosef took it on, and Levi didn't. Pel of a Tosfos, because it's not the mashmoyis of a Gemara at all. The Gemara's lashon is Amar Shlagish Aser la Adam l'shamish. It does not sound like a chumra balma. Aser sounds like aser. Huge chiddush in Tosfos. So some Echorim learn, these are the words of Tosfos, very clear. Tosfos is not so ambiguous. Tosfos seems to be saying that no, it's more of a, even though Lashon is Aser in the Gemara, it means more of a Chumra Ba'alma. That's how the simple understanding of Tosfos is. However, Sfasamis wants to say that Reish Lakish was talking about later times, Mizvanazet. In the time of Yosef, the time of Levi, back then, it was only a Midas Chasidus. Now, our Gemara is quoting, it's already a regular Isser. It's Tafka Kedem Antara was an Isser. Now, Nachma Antara, it is a regular Isser. That is how the Sfasemis learns. The Mashal would suggest that Tosfos meant to say, for people that weren't yet Mekayim Peru Revu, people who were Chashuchi Banim, for them, it's a Midas Chasidus not to have relations. But it's optional. But for others, avada is more than mitzvah chasidus. Avada, it is considered, it is going to be usher. The problem is, it comes out that we're saying there's a mitzvah chasidus for those who don't have children yet. It's a mitzvah chasidus not to have to do peruvu. Pashas we would have said the qualification of one, those are chashuk ibanim who are mekayim peruvu. The chiv peruvu says not only are they allowed to have relations, they're mechuyev to. Tesis, the way Marshall's learned Tesis, is saying a different madrega, that they're allowed to. They're allowed to have relations if they're Mekayim Peruvu, but the seeming that I'm a chuyiv to, Adrab, if they want to be, the Fimishers is in, if they want to be Mitzvah Chasidus, they still won't, even though they're Mekayim Peruvu, they still won't because Lamayis has years of Shnas, of famine. Ritvi has the Kasha, and Ritvi wants to suggest that's different when the famine, the hunger is by Goyim or by Yidden. If the hunger is found by Yidden, then we talk about don't engage in relations. When the hunger is by the Goyim, then the Yidden engage relations over here. We know, like we spoke out already earlier today, Yaakov and the family had plenty of food. They just didn't want it to look like they're not food, so they were sending the brothers to get food from Mitzrayim, but they didn't really need it. For them, it wasn't hunger, and then for them, it wasn't an issue to begin with. Finally, Beis Yosef wants to say, similar to what we said before, Beis Yosef wants to say, that depends if it was Kedem Matan Torah. He wants to say that Yosef was Kedem Matan Torah, the story of Yosef. And therefore, the whole drasha from Yosef as Macht Malma. And therefore, Taisa's Takadavka, it's a Midas Chasidus. Meaning, Agamar is saying it's Aser, but it's really an Isser Derabbanan based on a Smacht Malma from Yosef, which means certainly Levi would not have had to keep this idea. It's a big discussion, Bechla, whether things that are learned out from before Matan Torah, do they have a regular din Isser, a regular din Torah, or are those more of a Derabbanan slash Asmachtas? Seems to be potentially Machlekes Bavi Yerushalmi. That's a bigger conversation that Beis Yosef is getting into. There's another topic that's discussed. What is the idea behind this? We didn't really clarify. Why not? Why no Tashmish during Shnas Rav? So this morning, I mentioned very briefly that just logical that you're not going to bring people into a world, children to a world, when there's no food. There's a hunger in the world. Hopefully it's going to end, but right now, if there's hunger going on, you don't want to bring children to the world. So we didn't make up that svara. It's actually Yushalmi that the world is in a destructive matziv, and you're trying to build a world that's in the middle of destructive. That's Yushalmi svara. But the Pashtas, the way the Mepharshim learned in the Bavli, is not that's not the svara. That's where we said it's not the simple svara. The simple svara is that in relations is a very big form of just personal enjoyment. And while the world's in a shnas of ravayin, years of hunger, one should not be engaged in such physical pleasures while there's a massive hunger going on. However, if he wasn't makapur ravu yet, okay, that's a dispensation because he has a mitzvah. But the point is, it's not so much an issue of bringing children to the world in shematzim, it's more an issue of not enjoying oneself during such a matzah. There's big enough minus between these Bahakim and the Shalom and Bavi. Let's go weiter. I'm going to 45 behind. Be neither. If we have time at the end, we'll speak it out more tomorrow. So let's go more further. Tanaban. Mizmani saw Shirim Bitzar. When a guy saw sitting Bitzar, with the dwelling Bitzar, or Pusha Chamem, and one of them goes down and says that Amat shearing in their pain. The two Mechasharis that typically accompany a person, they come, they go and they put their hands on his head, and they say, so-and-so that was perish from Zibur, so-and-so who's separate from Zibur, he should not be zeich to see when the Zibur is delivered, when they're saved, the Nechama, from this Tzara. Tanya Idach, another Bryce is similar. When the Tzibur is in Tzar, let me go to my house and I'll eat and drink, and I'll peace onto me, onto my Nefesh. He shouldn't do that. He should be nice to oil with the tzibur. The mice cave does do that. All of a sudden, vehine sas and simcha hirik bakar v'sheikh tzayin. They have rejoicing and happiness. They check the cattle and the sheep. Achal bas v'shazayin. They eat the meat, drink the wine. Achal v'shayis eat and drink. Why? Kimachan amas, because tomorrow we die. They eat and drink because tomorrow is the day of death. This is a pasuk way before it was a song. Maksiv basrei. What it said? Afterwards in the pasuk, the nigla bazne Hashem tzavakayis imyichup ravan azel lechem ad tumusan, and the words are revealed to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is seeing who knows who's in charge of everything. Here's the words coming out of the person's mouth, and he swears that this aver will not be atoned until the person dies. Meaning, it's a very shvakach aver for a person who's instead of being nice to el with other people, but tzar ad rabbi they look to indulge and enjoy themselves. And say, listen, let's chaparain in this world because tomorrow we won't get to chaparain these physical pleasures. Let's chaparain now. So instead of taking heed at the tzar that others are going through, they actually try to chaparain the pleasures of this world. The Brisa continues, Ad Khan, Midas Bainim. What we describe tonight is actually Midas Bainim. Midas Rishayim, what's Midas Rishayim? The Rishayim is stronger. Maksiv, Asyu Echayayin, Nisba Sheikhar, let us get the wine, Nisba Sheikhar, and we'll get intoxicated. Sheikhar represents old wine, Faya Kazet Yemacher, and tomorrow will be like today. So I mean, the last Madrig at least believed it will come to an end. Right, tomorrow we die, and that's when this Eilam Hazeh is over, and this indulgence ends. So even though it's certainly not the purpose, it's focusing on the wrong purpose. Let's chaparain gashmi, it's the wrong purpose, but at least it recognizes the fact that there is a day of reckoning, there is a day of death coming up. This next level is, they want to party, drink old wine, and they say, let's do it today, and tomorrow will be even bigger. Every day we'll just make a bigger celebration, not even recognize that there is an end to all this. Max Sivbas, what do you say about this person? Had tzaddik of it, the tzaddik is gone. Vein ish sam alev, kimnei roa nesef tzaddik. That because of the evil, the tzaddik is actually being taken away and punished because of how bad the evil's gotten, even the tzaddik is ensnared in the punishment. Ella, so what should a person, again, is the price of Eiter, so we're saying, ignoring the tzibur, Not being nice to Eil is certainly not the right malach. Rather, what should a person do? Yitzar the Metzibah. A person should be Yitzar himself with the Tzibah. She came and see the Meshach Benu. We find Meshach Benu. She sees the Metzibah. He's Yitzar himself with the Tzibah. She never. Videi Meshach Kveidim. Yichol Evan. Vissim Utachta Vyesh Vela. Meshach's hands were heavy. When they're fighting Amalek, Meshach's hands were heavy. And he was supposed to, of course, we know as long as Meshach's hands were raised up, Klai would win the Muhammad. When his hands were down, they would lose the Muhammad. So they put stuff up under him to help support his hands. But what did he sit down on? Vichu Evan. Vissim Utachta. They put an Evan beneath him. Vyesh Vela. And he sat on a stone. Why does he have to sit on a stone? That was not part of the deal. Let him sit on a cushion. Chilei of the Meisha kar achas. A cast is achas with no pillow, no mattress. Leishva to sit on. Lachamar Meisha. He'll be so shu mitzar. They're busy with the Amalekim fighting. They're sitting mitzar. And imam mitzar. I should be mitzar. Imam. I should be mitzar with him. Actually, I don't know why I didn't do anything this morning. But I remember. I can say it is Shlita, Rabbi Finkel, one of the Rabbi Finkelman. It's a couple of Rabbi Finkelman brothers. Wonderful Yidden Sadiqim that live in the New York, New Jersey area. Few of them were different head counselors in various camps. I remember one of them, I believe it was, we were in Camp Silvake, and he was there. I believe this is where it was. I may be mixing it up. But back then, there was a new thing that many of the bunks had air conditioning. And for some reason, it was broken. And many of the bunks, it was broken. And I remember he had the air conditioning shut off in his building until it was fixed by the boys. And he said, if I'm in charge of these boys and I'm running it, if they don't have that comfort, I can't have that comfort. It doesn't make sense for me to be in a different level of comfort than there. I thought it was, I mean, I made a wish on me. This goes back 30 something years ago. I thought it was an amazing, amazing Mila. Okay. Says the Gemara, Chometzar. That's talking about, again, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I want to be like the Tzibur. Chometzar, it's been a Tzibur. Whoever's been Tzar himself with the Tzibur, Zeicha Veroi ben Chometzibur. He's Zeicha, and he sees in the Chometzibur Tzibur. Shema Yemar. He'll be Zeicha in the Chometzibur. We have a similar lesson by whoever's Mitzar al Churban Bayis. Is a churban Yerushalayim is zeichavaria bivinyana, right? V'sham yemer adam, it's supposed to be to see the salvation in the end. V'sham yemer adam mi meidbi, but someone's saying, who's going to testify about me that I'm not really joining in the tzibur's tsar? Who's going to testify? The Gemara is going to bring four different possibilities. Number one, avni beis yishladim, the beams, the stones of his house, with curry beis yishladim, and the beams of his house midamai, they'll testify about him that he's not properly joining the tsar. What do you see? The shemar ki evan mikir tizak will call out, the evan from the kir, the kafas man's yanena, and the brick, half brick from the wood, they will call out. So the wood, the beams, and the bricks will call out. We just referenced before that the two machasharas that I'm allowed the person, but he doesn't join with the tsar and tzibur, so they actually depart from him. They don't want to be with him, right? They come. They put their head on him and they say, so and so is Parish Matzibur, he shouldn't see the Nechama Matzibur. Those two same Malachim, they can be the same testimony. Rav Chitka Amar, we also have Rav Chitka and Shas, famously. Rav Chitka is the one that says that you have to have four meals on Shabbos. When we say you have three meals on Shabbos, it's not one Friday night, two Shabbos day, it's one Friday night and three Shabbos day. Okay, says Rav Chitka. He says he made the love. It's the neshama, the person him. I skipped neshmas ish adam. He made the love. His neshama will testify about him. Shneimar mishechechas chekecha shemer pischei picha. For that which is inside your chek, which is your neshama, is inside the chek. That's going to testify about you. And the fourth mal feishamim evar shadam. His limbs meet him, will testify about him. Shneimar atam edei nemashem. Okay, the brisa goes weiter, Kelim Muna Vein Avel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kelim Muna, faithfulness, Vein Avel, and he doesn't do anything that's improper, that's not fair. Kelim Muna, Kshem Shem from Nosheim Lema Ba, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish the Nosheim and Lema Ba, very meduyik. Afilo Alavera Kala Shaisin, even on a minor Avera, Kachin from the Tzadikim Amazeh, Alavera Kala Shaisin. So to Tzadikim also will get paid back for the Avera Kala. Just like Rishama punished by Avera Kala, so to Tzadikim, but notice the difference, the Rishama El Maba and the Tzadikim El Mazeh. This relates to what we touched this couple of ago, where the Mara says when a person wants to elevate himself, he's going to be judged on a higher level. He elevates himself, it sounds like that's what he gets, that's what the benefit he gets. He elevates himself and he's judged. Kachat the Sikr judges on a higher level. We explain what that means is Tzadikim is Gemara, of course, in Brachas. Tzadik Rali, Rashi Patel, the Gemara explains that the Tzadikim get punished in this world in order to clean their slate in this world, that in the Elam Emes, in the world to come, they get pure reward, and that's the world where you want to get all the reward. Rishama is the exact opposite. They'll get their payments for the minimal mitzvahs they did in this world, and they get all the punishment in the next world. So here we're saying also, as well, that Tzadikim and Rishama both will get punished for the very cause that they did. Rishama in the next world, Tzadikim in Rishama in the next world, that's when they get punished in general, so he can get punished in this world to give them a clean slate for the next world. Similarly, Vein Avel, Vein Avel means, again, there's no perversion of fairness. Just like the team get their full schar, don't think the Rishon don't get schar. And the team get schar, feel a mitzvah kalash eisen, even the minor mitzvah. The Rishon get their schar in this world, I feel mitzvah kalash eisen, so they get full schar, but in the Rishon it's this world, the schar, and punishment in the next world, tzadikim it's reward in the next world, and the punishment is in this world. Tzadik Yashu, who? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yashu, that relates back to what we just said. He's Tzadik Yashu by giving out all the rewards and punishment that are deserving for the Tzadik and Chalila, the Rasha. B'shas b'tirasai, sh'adam, l'beis lamai, when a person is passing on to the next world, we've all heard of this, here's the Gemara spells down for us, kol ma'isim l'fanav, or niftar l'fanav, all the ma'isim, they kind of walk in front of him, they're malav him, v'ermen lay, kak v'achasisim ma'complaini, b'yam plaini. the Maisim themselves dictate that this is what so and so, this is what, the Maisim go in front of him, and the in Shemayim, they ask the person, did you do such and such on that day? And he's going to say yes. And they're going to tell him in Shemayim, sign. And he signs. Of course, we say this in the Sanat Tekev, right? We sign it ourselves. Not only does he have to sign and divulge whatever he did wrong, after he gets meted out of punishment, he has to be matzik the din. He says to the in Shemayim, Yafa dintuni, it was correctly that you judged me the kayim, mashinemar, leman tzitztak pitvarecha. Amar Shmuel, back to Tainus. Kol yesh b'tainus nekochetu, whoever takes on a Tainus, any person, we spoke about a yachid taking on fast, especially when it didn't rain yet. We said in the Mishnah, the yachidim start fasting if it didn't rain by Shemas b'tamas, and the tzibur starts fasting if it doesn't rain by Rosh Chodesh Kislev, right? So, which we'll see more about that coming up tomorrow. But right now, we're just going to focus on bichlal, the idea of yechidim fasting. Is that a maila? Is it pariv? Is it a chsarin? Amar Shmuel, kol yesh b'tanis nekor chayta. One who sits in a fast is called a chayta. Sarvi ki adani, because all the following tana. The time we learned, legabi naziris. Rabba zakapar berebi aimer. Rabba zakapi berebi means like the gadol dar. He says, matam alaymer v'chiper alav. The pasuk says by the nazir, v'chiper alav became tamay to his base, v'chiper alav v'gena kapara. Me'ashachatas alnafesh, from that became tamay. He was over chayt by becoming tamay with Tumas base. V'chibez nefesh chata zeh. What chayt did this nefesh? What chayt nefesh did this nazir do? El shir atzman yayin. You know what the chayt did? Depriving himself from wine is the chayt. So every nazir in the zeros itself is a chayt. That is how Rabbi Elazar bar Kappa learns and says, Shmuel, I have a kavu chaymer to fasting. Halid v'am kavu chaymer. Maz shleit zir atzman elman yayin. Nikur chayt, the one who only withheld wine. He only abstained from wine. By being a nazir, he's a chayta. Hamitzah asked me called the time. One is fasting totally from all foods. He albeit for a short period of time, but okay, he's fasting from all foods. Alach kam v'kama. Certainly, that should be considered a chayta, and therefore he's being a raya. Shmuel is being a raya from Rabbi Eliezer Kapper. That just like the nazir is a chayta, so too any faster is a chayta. Rabbi Elazar, not Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Elazar says nikkur kaddish ad rabbi. He argues and says nikkur kaddish. The person who fasts. Because he's fasting to be a tshuva kapara for saveris, and he's called a kaddish. Nemar kaddishia gadol parasar reishai. It's like the pasuk says about the nazir. Go back to the nazir as your comparison again. It says about the nazir kaddishia, the one who grew out his hair, and we're bringing the same kavacham the other way. Umazah shesir asme elmen derechad. Nika kaddish, the nazir only withheld from wine is called a kaddish. Hamitzah asme mikol derechad. One who is mitzvah himself for everything certainly is going to be considered a kaddish. So there's two opposite approaches. We have a third approach shortly, but two opposite approaches whether the person who's fasting is called a chayta or called a kaddish. Now before we go further, Shmuel is the one in our Gemara who's calling the guy who's calling the fellow who pledged to fast, who's calling it a chayta. Jump into the second and only other Taisus on the page. Taisus brings, can I read this inside? Big Yisaitis over here, in general. One who wants to harm himself, there's going to be a qualification in a second, is permissible. If others wound someone, they're chayev. But one who wounds himself is allowed to. He's allowed to, but the Gemara explains not so fast. When Farash Hassam, this one's allowed to wound himself. Amar Shmuel be yeshiv b'tainus. It just means he's allowed to sit in a fast. Mamish physically, this whole age-old discussion is a person of balabas on his mamnas seems to be balabas. On his, even that, she probably treated like an apotropos. He's just there to watch it. It's belongs to Gash Rahu, Liya Kesef, Liazam. But okay, there's an idea that belongs to him to do, technically he owns it, do what he wants. Whereas with his body, does he own his body? Or not? Does he own his body? Is he allowed to authorize elective pain to his body and hurt himself or not? That's an age-old question. So the Gemara over there says, when we say a person rashai to chayvel himself, doesn't mean chayvel. It means to sit in a fast. That's what he's allowed to do. Amar Shmuel v'tainus. Al musa teizvus. Mashma the Shmuel kamidesh v'tainus. Leinik r'chayta. Shmuel is giving an example that what is one allowed to do when it comes to chayvel? Taka, not wound himself. He's allowed to sit in a fast. But that's the lush over there. The chayvel b'atzmei rashai. Over here, Shmuel is the one that's saying, a person who takes on a fast is nikra chayta. Is he? If he's a chayta, it shouldn't be rashai. Those two things seem to be contradictory. Answers teizvus. I will say preface it by saying it's a very shver teretz. Meaning the teretz is going to make some rice the concept, but it's a very shver concept. Teizvus to bring out. I'll preface it. We already have a concept in the Torah of asay dechleisasay. I can have an asay. That's a positive commandment. I have a leisay something I cannot do, and we say we have a klal. If they come into a conflict with each other, the asay pushes away the leisay. But I'm not even the leisay now. My asay wins, and therefore I do the asay. I'm not even the avera. Taisus wants to say that you have two elements over here. One who fasts is nikkur chayta. Why? If nazir atzmei min yayin for depriving himself is called the chayta, certainly fasting is called the chayta. But that being said, the benefits of fasting for tshuva and for trying to change his ways outweigh They outweigh, they far outweigh the detriment of the chait. So yes, it's all true. They're both true. Both things are true. One who fasts is a chaita, and he's allowed to do that chait. Very interesting. Again, normally we'd say, there is no chait. I say, Taisus is going to be, he's going to bring a couple of examples of this idea. We'll see very clear examples. Big chiddush in Taisus. I see inside, Ishlam is a Taisus. The vada have a chaita. He's a chaita. So certainly over here, a chaita is. Avon become comes of Taisus. Hamitzvah shu eisa, the mitzvah he's doing with his tainus. Godly yesim and avera. It's like the ends justify the means. In the bigger picture, the mitzvah is greater than the avera, so the mitzvah wins. It's not pushing aside the avera. It just wins. From the avera, again, what's the avera? He's being tsar himself. He's depriving himself. It's, you can understand that stuff from the weaker averas, and the mitzvah of doing a tainus and doing tshuva is much greater, and therefore pushes aside, and he brings a couple of rais to this. Nazir itself is a raya. We know Nazir, we just said, is an avera. Yet we know a ray seita b'kukule, one who sees a seita in her kilkul, should be yazras b'nayayim. What do you mean? Why are we promoting, again, this is different machalikas and different tanaim who have a different approach towards nazir, also it's like a different approach towards fasting over here. Some say that in the right place, fasting is a tzitkas, I mean, nazir is a tzitkas. Gemara kissed the fellow, at first he made himself a nazir, and there was a big tie on him, and then when he was a very handsome guy, and then when he said, because I saw my reflection, and he's more of Zion or Ches over there, and he said, when I saw my reflection, and I was tempted to go to Averis, I said, chutzpah, you're going to use what HaKadosh Baruch gave you, to go to Averis, I immediately pledged Nezer, and on that, I think, I want to say it's Rabbi Shmuel, I forgot who else has said, it should became Yerba like you in Klai Yisrael, even though initially in that same conversation, becoming a Nezer was considered not good, once the circumstances were such that this person being a Nezer was the best thing for him, it was considered Kavaldik. So here too, we find that by a Saita, we say one who sees a Saita can have a bad influence, Yazar Asmaniayan. He sees what caused the Saita story to happen, too much drinking, too much frivolity, he should be Yazar Asmaniayan. But being a Nezer is a Chait, yeah, but the damage of the Saita could be greater. And therefore, Yaz Asmanayin, we see again this concept of the we have to weigh the good and the bad and take the overall, look at the overall picture. Again, it's not a license all over. We typically do not say this. We do not say the ends justify the means. But another example that he brings is a very interesting example. We know that the person has a bad dream. So he's supposed to fast Tanis Chalim. The Iker date to fast is that immediately the following day. One has a bad dream, should make a fast right away the next day. What if the dream happens on Shabbos? So we require him to fast on Shabbos. He's not allowed to fast on Shabbos. But he has a terrible dream. He should fast the dream, fast for the dream on Shabbos. And then the halacha is he fasts another fast as a tshuva for fasting on Shabbos. The tshuva for fasting on Shabbos is during the weekday, fast another fast. We see clearly the fasting on Shabbos is still considered wrong, even though he has a good excuse. Yet we still say, fast the fast for the Tanis Chalayim on Shabbos, and then make a fast later. These are a few examples, three examples, where we say we have an issue at hand, we have a maila, and the maila outweighs the issue, and we say do it, but it's not the pshat that therefore we don't need to see the issue. Issue is still there, but we do the bigger picture, and we do what's there as a maila. Big chiddush, big idea in Tosfos, not so simple to really grasp where we draw that line, and when do we say no? Ends don't justify the means, can't do an isser. Torah tells us, say that works, but otherwise, to start picking and choosing over the big picture could be a very, very slippery slope. Okay. Is another discussion about whether Tzar B'chayim B'chal on people. We know Tzar B'chayim, of course, applies to animals. We know that the Gemara B'Basi tells us that the Isser Tzar B'chayim is a din d'oraisa. The Gemara doesn't bring a clear source. The Achrenim, Shainim bring 13, 14 different sources for what source Tzar B'chayim is. Rav Asher Weiss Shlita has a beautiful piece on this where he writes, this is a riot to the concept of Ratzon HaTorah. If you have over a dozen different sources, clearly none of them is so black and white that that's the right source. One of them, it comes up, he speaks about in last week's parasha, or 2 weeks ago, and it says Yaakov made huts for the animals. He made huts for the animals. Well, Yaakov made huts for the animals. Why? Because he was clearly worried about the animals' welfare. That's another indication of Ratzon HaTorah. So he wants to say there's a concept called Ratzon HaTorah, similar to the idea, of course, that we have the idea for the famous Ramban, Menuvah B'Shus HaTorah, someone could do no Isser and still go against what the Torah wants. Here's the opposite. Someone may not be part of Taryag. Again, the Imam Mamasiyah calls it a Dindaraisa, but it may not be part of Taryag, but it's clearly the Ratzon HaTorah that gives it the status of Taraisa. It's the Ratzon HaTorah, namely the din of the issue of Tzav HaLachayim. So the question is, does that apply to humans or Dafka to animals? The Chavisir has a tshuva where it's relevant to Kain, who's outside, and the elements are cold, rainy, and the only place for him to go inside is a house with the remains. Discussed without Tzav HaLachayim, he should be able to go into the house. The Maisi says it doesn't apply to Tzav HaLachayim on humans. He says, why not? Because the idea of Tzav HaLachayim is Dafka animals who are lacking intellect. So because they're missing intellect, it's considered more of a tzara to be mitzara the animals. But people, humans who have intellect, they should be able to use their mind and get above the whatever these physical pains are. If there's reasonings behind it, they can get above it. You don't have the same idea of Tzav HaLachayim as the Chavisir. Others argue they want to be right for Jewish Rashba, that there is Tzav HaLachayim by humans. Okay, it's part of obviously related to this conversation, but let's go further. Says the Gemara further. Shmuel, Haikah Kaddish. We just quoted that the person who makes himself a Nazir, Kaddish Yia, isn't that a clear right that he's a Kaddish? You're calling him a Chayta, and then by virtue of that extension, that calling the guy who makes the fast a Chayta, he's called a Kaddish. Answers the Gemara, Ho Agayta Parakai.
The word. The
I'm sorry?
It's a question on
Shmuel's interpretation of the Torah.
No, the Torah seems to contradict itself by Nazir. I mean, that's what the Gemara is asking, essentially, no? The Gemara
is clearly asking on Shmuel.
That's I,
the,
I yeah. see that.
You're saying the question will also be, Minei Obey and the Torah. Let's see. Yeah. Well, Shmuel, Haika Kaddish. According to Shmuel, Lechari, he's called Kaddish. The Torah is called Kaddish. How can you say it's a Chayta? He asked him, who I got the Parakai. It's going on the here that he left long for Naziris. That here is Kaddish, but not that the person himself for being a Nazir is Kaddish. Lechlazer, Hanikar Chayta. I think that's where. Essentially, where you were going, Yuda, and on the other way, on a blazer, what does it do with the fact that he's called a chayta? Answer the Gemara: Who decided nafshei? That's talking about a guy who became tamei. We pointed out that the simple reading of the pasuk was v'chiper alav in a case where he became tamei. Yes, when the guy made himself a nazir became tamei, that's a chayta. But a nazir is not a chayta for just being a nazir. Very simple. Okay.
No.
The pasuk, you have to look at the concept of the pasuk. The pasuk is describing that if he did a chet and become tummy, he has to become clean from his tumma. The point is, the chet is not referring to a chet of being a nazir. That's how Rabbi Lev learns. Or, the chet is, because he became tummy, he wasn't ready, obviously, to be a proper nazir, and that's a demonstration of the chet. But stam is a person being a nazir would not be a chet. Says Gemara, I'm Rabbi Lazar, I'm going to say this. I have Rabbi Lazar, Lilim Yam Adam Atzmei. A person should always treat himself, Kiilu Tapa Beis, Kaddish. Sharia B'Zek Me'ab, he should treat himself as if Kedusha rests inside him, meaning he should regard his stomach, his insides, as if they're Kaddish, and therefore should never weaken them. Rabbi Lazar seems to be saying that you should fast. It's Kaddish if you fast. Kaddish if you become a Nazir. But he's the one that says that a person should regard himself as if he's Kaddish, and a person should always make sure to take care of Kedusha in the best way possible and not to weaken it. Should never be Kirbuk HaKaddish will ever be here. If it sounds familiar, it should. We had this earlier where we said Kirbuk HaKaddish with a question for him. In your Kirbuk HaKaddish, in your Mitzvah's holy, will ever be here, and I'm not going to come into the city. We said that first, HaKaddish Baruch is not going to go into the Yushlaim Shamala until the Yushlaim Shamata is inhabited. Okay, but the point is, over here we're saying a different drasha that when the person's insides are Kaddish, and therefore, you should protect it properly. Isn't that a reason not to fast? Like, gosh, a person who can handle a fast, and he's not gonna lose himself by fasting, so he has the keichas to do it, he gets the best of both worlds. His insides remain kaddish, he's not weakening them, and he's even massive kaddish, i.e. the fast according to Belazar. One who can't handle the fast, similar to the idea we said by Nazir, one who can handle the Naziris, for him is the bad idea, it's wrong. Such a person has to make sure to take care, if he can't endure the tsar, to make sure of eating properly. Rish Lakish Amar, a third malach, and there's a question, we weren't so sure this morning if this is a greater malach than Kedusha, or less. We know Mesias Hashem, of course, Kaddish is above Chassid, but over here, if I remember correctly, over here, we're saying, Rish Lakish Amar, Nikar Chassid, goes to Chassid, and Agamar's build-up, it almost seems like, unless it's just the age thing, first we quoted from Shmuel, who's obviously earlier, we quote from Shmuel that he's a Chayta, we then quote from Belazar that he's a Kaddish, now quote from Rish Lakish, he's a Chassid. Nikar Chassid, a person who fasts Nemar, Gemal Nafshay Ish Chassid, V'Eicher She'eray. Amar Sheishas, Hi Be Barav, Diyasvatanusa. However, a Talmud in the Yeshiva who sits for fasting, Lecha Kabashiru, saying, let the dog eat his leftover food, meaning there's no Maila. The fact that he didn't eat his meal is a chasar, because he's not going to have the strength to learn properly, to be iron properly, to sit and harif. And what the Maila gets from fasting is pushed away by the Talmud Zerik Nagat Kulam, the fact that even if he learns, he won't be learning with the same depth, with the same Kishmakite, and therefore he should absolutely not be fasting. Amar Birmi Ba'aba, ain't Tanasib Bavel, there's no Tanasib Bavel, El Tishma Bavad. So this is really not related. It's a new memra that the Bavel, they only had a fast, we mean over here, a fast where you fasted with the night before, the full-fledged fast, was only done on Tisha B'Av, otherwise we didn't have that Madrega fast in Bavel at all. Shoot, before you get this Gemara, or the next Gemara, just a quick point, the place can discuss this idea of a fasting L'maisa. We have these tzad that's a chait, tzad that it's a kaddish, tzad that it's mamash chassid. So the lacha seems to be kind of like the in-between cheetah that it's good for someone who can handle it. We said in the last Gemara, according that it's a kaddish for one hada matz mitzvah nafshei. If it's matz mitzvah nafshei, he can handle it. Fasting is good for him. It's a good way to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a good way to do tshuva. Disassociate from the world, do tshuva for averus. If one can't handle it, then he certainly shouldn't be fasting. The Magen Avram and the Taz right, very big aside, and these guidelines of not fasting if it's difficult, too difficult, is for one who's stamazay fasting for precious. He's trying to, so I keep saying about chatayim, so maybe I jumped the gun. It's for people fasting to reach higher madrigas, i.e. they precious, separating from this world. If one's fasting taka for kapara venus, this concept of pidal tanesim, different amounts of fast for different chatayim. If one's fasting as an atonement for chatayim, then it is always praiseworthy. That would be, that's pashta, that would be called the chaita. the Magen Avraham Taz says Pasha, that would be considered a praiseworthy activity. However, that's Magen Avraham Taz, it's a couple hundred years ago. Mishmur brings Lamaisa nowadays, certainly by Bnei Torah, that even for a chait, even this idea of fasting for a chait, which is a laudable idea, better to give staka, give something that's meaningful within one's realm, within one's means, because it's going to bring him down. It's, we know how fast days, of course, there's the fast days that we will keep, the fast days are part of the calendar, but otherwise, fast days typically drain a person out, doesn't let him do his regular day. Assuming a person's on a regular day is what he's supposed to be doing, supposed to be learning Torah, supposed to be mitzvahs, it's going to drain him out of the regular Torah mitzvahs that he does properly. It's a yasas harbav seidek, and therefore, certainly by Bnei Torah, even they say, even by non-Bnei Torah, even by laymen, the same way they should, would apply, that fasting is not the go-to Eitzah. That's, we're not saying never, but it's not the go-to Eitzah, because you lose out a lot in the lack of strength and lack of focus and the headaches people get. They lose out a lot more than I say than they gain by the fast. So it seems to be, again, in a perfect world, if a person's able to do it, that's great, but we judge Hamanam as if they're not really perfectly able to do it. Back to the Gemara. So Rabbi said, Ein Tana Siva Bavel Ela Tishba Vavad. This really gets back to the same ideas before, that a Talmud Chacham, that was a unique line about the fast, with the full-fledged fast, with the fasting at night already, is only by Tisha B'Av. Now, back to a memory related to what we're saying, a Talmud Chacham cannot sit in a fast because of a Mayat, his Melech Hashemayim, which is really what we've been saying from the Achrayim, everyone seems to be on the same page. It's really a function of, if one's able to and he can handle it, then great, and he can be Kaddish and it's great, but if he cannot, then he should not. And the assumption of Zeh, like we said from the Achrayim, is that most people cannot. We said in the Mishnah that on these three first initial three fasts, the Yechidim fast, namely from the 17th of Cheshvan, when it doesn't rain, they can still eat at night. The fast only starts in the morning. This really gets into the kishkas of Mesechta Sinus. Afilo achal till now has been pretty much agadatis. Afilo achal v'shasuk alayla, even if he ate and drank all night, lemachar, the gist of the way we have it is, so a person accepted a fast, and then the night time he ate and drank, the morning, lemachar, umespal v'shasuk alaylas. In the morning, he can say it's v'shasuk, which is a fancy way of saying anenu. He can say anenu. That's a simple way of reading this line, that he's eating at night, which is fine, because the fast ends up in the morning, and in the morning he can say anenu. Shacharis, mincha, he says anenu. Lam b'tanisai, if however, he slept at night, let's say the fast is over, and he continued post-mairiv after the fast in a matzav of fasting, anenu spalas tinnus. In the morning when he wakes up, he does not say anenu, even though he's still in a matzav of fasting. That is the memra of Rav Zera in the name of Rav Huna. Now again, the simple memory was, he ate at night, and in the morning, we discussed whether he can get up and say, Anenu. However, there are those that learn, Rashi seems to say very clearly, that when it says, even though he's eating at night, he could say Anenu even at night. While he's eating at night, Myriv, he can say Anenu, because the fast is separate for tomorrow. And there's actually a very clear Rashi in Shabbos, I think it's Aflam Adalan, Rashi quotes A for the Gainim, quotes it as well, a little bit for the Gainim, because we go over there at length, Tosfos quotes it over there as well. Rashi quotes from the Gainim say a line that there are those that are eating and saying Anenu, and those that are fasting and not saying Anenu. How so? We basically just spoke it out. Those who are eating at night when they accepted a fast for the following day, they're eating at night, but they're still in the day of a fast, and therefore they can already say Anenu at nighttime while they're eating. And the next night, following the fast is over. And even if he happens to have not broken his fast yet, he's not Mishmar, most people obviously haven't broken the fast Mishmar yet, and still you don't say Anenu. So you have those who are fasting, not saying Anenu, and those who are not fasting, saying Anenu. That's the idea for the Gainim. However, the Gainim say that, and certainly according to this, you say Anenu in the morning, and then by Mincha again. Now the Lashon of our Gemara, Lamachar, so they just put the Machar a little earlier, right? Yachash Kibel of Tainas, put Lamachar over there. For Lamachar, then take Afilo Ach V'Shasuk Alayla, he's Bespal the Anenu, but it means even night, according to the way Rashi and these Gainim are understanding it. Lamaisa, the Gainim already bring Rashi, basically the Gainim, that we don't say Anenu, certainly not at night while he's still eating. We don't even say Anenu in the morning by Shacharis. When do we say Anenu in Shemar Esrei? Tafka Bai, Mincha. Why? Because we're concerned that we're not going to complete the fast. Who says Anenu by Shacharis? Dafka the Sheikh Tzibur. Why Dafka the Sheikh Tzibur? Because Sheikh Tzibur is Dafka for the Tzibur, and it's assumed that for sure at least one person from the Tzibur will be Mashlem, we mash the fast. We can go further, let's pause over here because I'm going to pick up tomorrow in the middle of this tomorrow anyway. Let's pause over here. It's late. Pick up for this tomorrow. Mr. Mevi, wonderful.